A lot of precious things have been said tonight. A lot of honoring that's been going on, and it's just awesome to see that song. I went to Sarah and I said, "What song are you gonna do for me before you sing tonight, or before I speak tonight?" And she told me the song that she thought she might do, and I said, "Can you do Alabaster Box?" Because every one of us here have an alabaster box. We were born with one. But it's a choice to break it. It's a choice over and over to break it and let that sweet essence just flow out of us that God has put in us. Amen? Remember when I started, I said I'm a sheepdog. I pray that I earned the right to say that. I pray that I already have, but I move into it stronger. And we got these sheep up here. They're smiling. You want to know why? Because they're not going to be slayed like they used to be. Amen? They're not going to be sacrificed for me anymore. You get what I'm saying? If you go up there and peck the back of them right here, it's the strangest feeling. But they're happy. They're happy. There's a Nancy. Thank you for letting me come too. Amen. And they're going to be here watching us and enjoying the whole weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Last night I shared a little story that when I was in Hawaii this summer and not in a good place, and actually a place of very close to death. I was watching a video, and it was about, it was late at night. The lady that was with me helping take care of me had gone to sleep, and I was watching a video on the South Pacific and the fish, and, you know, I was really trying to pay attention because we had two shark attacks just down the beach from where we were staying. And so I was just trying to stay in the know. And it was, no, I'm not going in the water. Anyway, but there was this presentation made about these two species in the water, a crab and a fish. And it's a real uncommon connection that they have out there in the deep sea at the bottom. The crab is down on the bottom, and he's digging a hole, and he's moving rocks, and he's making a safe place. And there is a fish that's floating just above him a little bit that is just watching. And this is a teamwork that these fish and these crabs are consistent in it. I mean, there's this type of fish and type of crab that they're partners. And what it is while when they move to a new area because of feeding and whatever, looking for another place so they can eat, the crab is down there working, but the whole time the crab is working, his antenna is up touching the fish. So that if the fish moves real quick, the crab knows to hide and the fish knows to get down in the hole with the crab. Now, isn't that a credible story? True story. True story. But the type and shadow of it is this. We're laborers providing that place. And if we keep our antenna connected with God through Jesus Christ, we'll always know when the predator is around because God will move. Good to see you. He'll just move and boom, we're right together in a safe place. Amen? Amen. Anyway, I just thought that was a wonderful story that I wanted to share here because this summer I learned about the Lord being the lifter of my head. And it was very personal, and it was in a place where I was in the shadows and a place that I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how the clock was going to tick. I didn't know how much more time I had on my clock. I was very sick. I was what I would call sickened to death in a lot of ways and in a lot of seasons and time. While in that 2.5 months, I went there sick. I was supposed to be going there. We had decided back in January that I was going to go there and go on a sabbatical and work on my book, and we worked on it for 6 chapters, and I mean, it was hard. It was very hard labor because I was so sick, and I can't tell you how bad it was, but it was bad enough that I didn't want to take a shower. I didn't want to brush my teeth. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to get in bed. I didn't want to eat. I mean, nothing was working right for me. I was puffing up. I was swelling up. My body wasn't working right. I had they finally discovered what was wrong with me and why I was having these strokes since 2003, why nobody could read the medical reports, the blood reports for all those years, why they didn't catch it. I don't know, but in late April, they discovered why I was having the strokes, as I had a blood gene in me that coagulates, and I had that problem since a child. I was born with it. The good part when you were a child is whatever you got a cut, the next day it was instantly healed. I mean, I just healed so quickly. I just thought I was so special. I did. I didn't know why I healed so quickly, but my husband, my children, they got hurt. They're still carrying around their Band-Aids and bleeding and whatever for weeks, and I would get a cut, and the next day, it would be over. I'd hurt my body. The next day, it would be over. But when you get older, it works against you. That coagulation starts shooting off, casting clots here, clots there, and then they got to the point by the time March came around and I was moving into March, I wasn't just having strokes, I was having storm strokes. Not fun. My brain felt like mush. I didn't know if I was going to remember my name when I wake up the next day. I didn't know if I could ever be able to do what I'm doing today. I didn't know if I could walk or talk or whatever. The last stroke I had was a month ago. And I mean, I talked like this, and it was on my right side, my cheek, my eye. I mean, it didn't, but it felt like my eye was hanging on my cheek. I mean, I was very, very sick, and I didn't know if I was going to get out of that bed again. But third day, God did resurrection power, and I mean, I had 4 neurologists in that room at different times, and a consultant working on my case, because I am the most complex case in the state of Alaska. I'm the first one to get to go into China and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in over 100 years, but I'm also the most complex case in the state of Alaska right now. So I don't know, being the front isn't always good. But I do know that the last neurologist that came in and talked to me said, I know that you've asked every neurologist that's come in here. You're asking everybody if you can get out. And you said yesterday you want out today. I'm here to tell you you're not getting out today. The only room you're going to move from is from this room closer to rehabilitation down the hall. And I said, no, that's not true. I am getting out of here. I have some plans to hit my friend. <I'm joking. laughs> I have an appointment at the world global traveling thing. I mean, I've worked toward this, getting this, so I can travel around the world and go through TSA. Sorry, guys, you stay in line, get your whatever checked. I have it. Worldwide. Amen. I get to go where the pilots go. Praise God. But anyway, they said, no, you're not. I said, I've got an appointment with the dietitian. I've waited 5 months to get this appointment because my sicknesses are working against each other. Type 2 diabetic, all of a sudden now I'm a type 2 diabetic. All of a sudden my thyroid is crashing. I mean, none of this was going on in March. None of this with the blood problem, yes, when I was here in January. But none of this other stuff. It was like my world was crashing. It was like my body was letting me down. My mind was saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But my body was saying no, and it was coming from both ends. Just to be quite frank, I was sick. But I noticed something that was taking place through all of this. On that day, I was in the hospital a month ago. I had the stroke on Saturday at like about 3:30, 4 in the afternoon. And then I turned around and had another stroke later that evening after I did the meeting. Instead of going to the hospital because I had a stroke, I went and did the meeting. Faithful, because I promised them. I promised them a year ago because I had to cancel the year before because I went and switched with her husband so he could come back home and go to work after she had a surgery on her neck, that resurgery. And so I had to cancel being at this important meeting. And so I wasn't about to turn him down, but I wasn't going to go speak. I was just going to go and encourage him and bless him. I was feeling a little bit better. They said, please share with us. I said, okay, I'll do it. Lord, help me. And I started talking. And before I was done, it was like the words that were coming out of my mouth were backwards. And there toward the end, my memory was starting to fail me because the stroke was right here. And it went down across this way and went down my arm. That's how it affected me. It affected my emotions. It affected my motor skills and my speech. And she took me right to the hospital because Sarah had gone with me. She played the guitar for the meeting and took me right to the hospital. I mean, they had me like triage. I was back there like that. But I was back there in emergency until probably, 7 or 8 in the morning before they put me into a room because they were running all these tests. And my attitude is this is not taking me out. My husband's, trying to talk to me. He knew how bad it was. He said, if you think I need to be up there, I'll come up right now. But we had all these situations going on at home. And I said, no, just stay where you're at. It'll be okay. I mean, Sarah was just like, her ear was plugged to Henry's ear. Every test that came back, everything that was going on. Sarah said, I called home. And Mitch said I could spend the night here because they didn't want me to be alone. I wasn't allowed to get out of my bed by myself for 2 days. Third day, because I'm so insistent, I went out. Here comes physical therapy. I mean, occupational, physical, and all of them had been in there and just said it's not a good day today and would leave. And neurologists are saying this and this and this. And by the way, the men were all precious, but that woman, she come in and she just said, how the cow eats the cabbage, you're not going anywhere. If you go anywhere, it's going to be down the hall in another room. And I said, no, I went out. Debbie had come and saw me. Now, she came up, when Sarah had to go to work, she came up to be with me. And we didn't know how it was all going to work out. But I'll tell you what, I was determined. I was going to keep my appointments. I was determined that death was not going to hold me down. I was determined that God had promised me, God had asked me, and I had promised him about certain events and times and places that I knew were true, and that's where my focus was. He is the lifter of my head, and that's what I kept looking at. But I'll tell you, people were coming in and stealing my hope and casting that test on me and those reports on me, and it was hard. When I start to weaken, Sarah would go, come on, get up. I mean, she's not very nice either. Get up. Anyway, good thing I didn't spill your coffee. I mean, I have friends that iron, like iron sharpens iron. They didn't let me stay down. Amen? I didn't want to stay down. But anyway, Debbie had left to go eat or something, and I'd already had this blowout with this lady. And I said, I am getting out. And she says, no, you're not. That's the final answer. I'll come in and talk to you later this evening, but you're not getting out. I won't sign you out. You'll have to run away. And I went, So a little bit later, physical therapy came in. I totally cooperated. They put a robe on. I mean, I was a little vain. We didn't have enough to cover me up. So they put a robe on backwards on me, put a belt around me so they could hold on to me so I didn't fall down. And I got up and I started to walk, and the pain in my leg was so bad that I can't explain it. It was like all the nerves because of what the brain was shooting off. It was painful, but I was determined I'm going to live and not die. And we got down to the physical therapy room, and we walked in there, and then no longer could I hold the tears back because I went in there, and I knew I couldn't do it. And the tears started falling, and she took me over to the steps, and she says, okay, you have to go up these steps because I'm hanging onto the wall on the way down the hall. On the wall, down the hall. And I get to those steps, and she goes, okay, Nancy, we're going to go up these steps. The room's full of people, and, I don't even know their faces or what was wrong with them, but I was like determined I was going to prove I could get out. And I mean, I just said, okay, and I started to go. My brain would not tell my legs what to do. They wouldn't lift. And I went, come on, don't let me down now, you know. And she goes, come on, Nancy. And she reached down and grabbed my right leg, and she says, good leg first, bad leg second. Good leg first. Tears just going down my face because I know what I'm holding on to. And all of you that know me personally, you know I've had a life after death experience. I've walked the streets of gold. I saw the mansion being prepared for me. I saw the Apostle Paul. I saw the Apostle Peter. I walked with Jesus and asked him questions, and he told me, you know, he put those questions in me. And then they said I had to come back, and that was a horrendous day for me. You know, for it was just awful. I was so homesick. I was homesick for a year. What was in me, what I saw, the peace. It was the first time in my life I did not suffer pain. I was born in pain. It was the first time in my life I had no pain. But he said, you have to go back. And that's another story. But I did give in. He tricked me. He did. He told me, you're going back because I'm going to send you to more children, all my children. I thought he was talking about children. I discovered children. Amen? All over the world. Last thing I wanted to do, he did. He went to the least of them and pulled them up. So you cannot give me any excuse that you don't have it, because you do. If I have it, you have it. Amen? Amen. I mean, who would ever think a woman living clear out mile 24 on the highway that I live in Alaska, out in Timbuktu, mile 24, and send me to China to be the first woman to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, or to be the first woman to put conferences on in the upper part of India? And I'm going back this year. We're going to do it again. They've finished their facility, and up to 1,000 women can come in for it. We've had up to maybe about 600, but we're going for the top. Amen? But those are things God can do with you if you just say yes. So here I am. I get back to my room. I'm devastated. Hope, I'm a woman of hope. The ministry is called Point to Hope. God named the ministry Point to Hope. Why? Because he pointed me and used me to point to others and help them get to that place of hope. Because hope deferred saddens the heart. Hope realized is a tree of life. I love trees. Amen? I do. I love trees. And so I'm laying there in bed and I'm going, okay, Lord. I mean, I was wiped out, say the least. And of course, when you get tired, then you're not talking right, and you're not thinking right, and my brain is like mush. And this is what's been going on since the last time I saw you guys last year. Just, I don't know if you know what it means when I say mush. It's like trying to get your thought connected to the next thought. You know, talking and like, what was I talking about? Or I can't remember, like let's say it's Lillian. I want to talk about Lillian, but I'd have to do charades for her to help me to get to Lillian's name. You know, the one out there, you know, out there, I don't know if it's north or south, or I mean, that's how I talked. That's how I was talking. So you have to know God did a miracle. Because there I am laying there. I'm laying there and the clock is clicking and I'm going, Lord, this is how I feel. Will you put that picture up for me, Lisa? I said, Father, if this is the cup that you have extended to me, I beg you, remove it. But if that's not your will, give me the grace to drink it. And I was laying there, and all of a sudden, it was about 3:30, between 3:30 and 4. I was laying there flat. And by the way, that was my will, because up to that point, they wouldn't let me put my bed down because of the stroke, the swelling. They were afraid that it would fill my brain up and I'd have more issues. So I had to sleep sitting up. That ticked me off. I don't do that. That was hard for me to just sleep. But I had it down. I'm in rebellion. I'm putting my head down. And I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, I can only tell you, you'll have to believe me, it was like a zap. And my whole body just boom, like that. Like somebody had put car batteries on my heart or something, and I went boom, like that. And I looked, and I was, it was like, I could talk correctly. She is a witness of what I was like. When she came back, it was like night and day. I mean, she was worried for me. She was scared. She was trying to figure out whether to call my husband and say, this is more serious than I thought. But anyway, I was laying there and I jumped out of bed. I mean, it was like I leaped. All I could think about was James who was it? It was Peter and James when they went to the temple, and there was the lame man from birth, and he just, alms, begging for alms, and Peter says, look me in the eye. And he looks him in the eye, and he looks at James. He's looking for what he's going to get. Guess what? He said, silver or gold do I not have, but what I do have is Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And that's what he did to me. I not only got up and walked, I talked. I haven't shut up since. What are you doing? And I'll tell you what, then I grabbed the phone, and I called the nurse's station. I said, is Dr. So-and-so still on this floor? That's the neurologist that gave me such problem. Anyway, they said, she is still on the floor. She's seeing a patient. I said, well, it's an emergency. Send her to my room. I just had to get her there. I wanted out. Normally, I just wanted to, you know, take care of what they need to take care of, but I knew I needed to get out. And so about 30 minutes later, she came in there, and I had laid back down. And she came in there, and she goes, what do you want, Nancy? I already told you, I am not letting you out. And I said, but you have to let me out. I've been healed. And she looks at me so funny. I said, I've been healed. Look at, I'm talking. He gave me my speech back. She's just kind of looking at me dumbfounded. And I said, look. And I threw my feet over the side of the bed and jumped up. And I did a little dance. And she goes, she goes, all right, have it your way. You can get out. What's funny is she says, but she had to get the last word, right? Yeah. It was the best last word. She goes, but listen, I'm going to change all your meds. She says, they are overdosing you. They are killing you. And I was on, at that time, I was on 5 blood pressure medicines. She took them all off. She said, you're on this metformin, Juvenia, complex. She said, you don't need the metformin. You're barely a type 2 diabetic. I saw the records before. Yes, you were. But I'll tell you what, right now you are being overdosed on your medicine. I'm taking it all off. I'm only taking 3 pills now. And I had an array of pills that it was so bad. I mean, Debbie had to type it up because I was like forgetting to take pills and getting confused about my pills in between the strokes that were going on. And I just want to tell you, third day, he wanted me to see something he's been doing my whole life. When we trust him, you know, when you get a cold, it's usually 3 days. When you get the flu, it's usually 3 days. When you go through a problem, it takes you about 3 days to get through it. When, you know, we go through menopause, our husbands do it every 3 months. They go in the cave. And they're grouchy, and you just got to let them have their moment, and then they come back out. Amen? Every 3 months? It's the truth. I started watching that cycle go on, you know? It's like, Henry, do you know you go through that every 3 months? I've been watching your cycle. And then I talk to girlfriends. Oh, yeah, my husband does that too. I'm like, really? Cool. There is some justice. Amen? So in telling you all of that, I got to tell you that the words I'm going to say here in the next few minutes, you have to know that God had to be carrying me to prepare us for this conference. He walked me through so gently, knowing my deficits, knowing he knows all things. I don't have the mind of Christ, never will, right? But I can't even think like him. But he was thinking in my behalf and started putting things in order, and he wouldn't have done it if I hadn't kept getting up and going. And I think about the conference we did through all this. I'm wearing a heart monitor. I ripped it off at the conference. I mean, for crying out loud, there was nothing going on with my heart. They couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything because that's not what it was. Amen? So I ripped it off. I said, I don't need this. You know, whatever the problem is, we're going to get to the root of it, right? So in this process, I did go to Hawaii. I went through that horrible thing for 2.5 months. You go, oh, that must have been tough to be in Hawaii sick. Let me tell you, all that out there that you could be doing, I mean, it was just barely being able to write. It was just barely being able to write. And it just seemed to get worse and worse, so my writing got less and less toward the end. So anyway, but God, even that, he had it lined out. God even had all that lined out. He was taking care of me. Why was he taking care of me? Because he has a plan. And nothing's going to be wasted. Now, somebody wrote me and says, God, there must be, God, Satan must have a toehold on you. You know how people, they can't figure it out, so they want to come up with some things that maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Believe me, I've been through it. But my husband has been through it. But Henry said, did you ever stop to think that the call on your life, just like the 12 disciples, did they die easy? You know, what's his name? Just a minute, let me think of it. This is just my age, not stroke. What's the speaker that was in Kansas City? Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke was speaking in Kansas City, and Sarah, or, Lisa was at the conference and was sharing, and he opened up with sharing about how many of the ministerial leaders, prophets, apostles across the nation are physically being attacked. It's uncanny. And I don't know what to say other than God wants to prove himself over and over. I have a testimony. It's a law of responsibility. You have a testimony, you share it. You don't put a bushel over it and hide it. You have a testimony. God has brought you into resurrection power. Share it. By the way, when you share it, it builds up faith within yourself. Amen? That's what happened to me. And, I mean, it just got better and better and better and better. And I'll tell you what, you can't even tell I've had a stroke. You can't tell I was limping. I mean, there are a few little deficits that I catch myself, or maybe it's just my age, and then I get a little defensive, and I have to line myself back up. See, I wondered, because God is sending me, he said, you know what? I want to send you to some places, some nations, but I cannot do it until you go to D.C. The enemy was hounding me all the way to D.C., because Satan did not want me to get my assignments. And those assignments are Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, the Philippines, Russia, Iceland, Greenland. Did I forget any, Sarah? With China, we went to China, and we went to Israel. We went to those embassies. That's his assignment this year, for me to go to their capitals, stand on their gates, and pray. Amen? That's God's assignment. That's God's assignment that started after I finished praying over all of the United States capitals. You know, I was glad when it was done, grateful that I could be a part of it. And then he says, now I'm going to start sending you to the nations. And he has been. I think we've been to over 50 nations, more than that. And the delight in it is how he works it out, orders it out, and when we get there, he always has some kind of surprise from the top leadership to people that are waiting for us because they're watching us coming. I mean, it's just amazing favor, the doors that open up And sometimes when they accost you, you think you're in trouble, and then they already know why you're there. That's what they did when we went through the gates there, when we were getting ready to go to Israel after going all the way across Europe. We did half of Europe one summer and went back and did the other half. After I had strokes. Get up and rise. He kept doing it. You know, we went to Scandinavian countries. I'm in the hospital. I had a stroke. I mean, I'm the one that they were having to tie my shoes. I just got out of the hospital. And, I mean, the neurologist is going, I want to know what you want, and scared me to death. And I went, I want to live. I didn't know what he was asking. He goes, no. I want to know what you want. And I went, well, I think I need to know what you think I want, because I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, Nancy, your doctor, your husband have called me and told me you're supposed to be on a plane on Friday headed to Scandinavian countries. And then he said it again, but I didn't hear him talking. I heard the Lord, and he said, you already know what I want. What do you want to do? He wanted me to go. And I just, I said, I'm supposed to go. And guess what? We went. And the reason that man was yelling at me is because he was born and raised in Estonia, and that's where we were going. And he's walking out the door after he says, I'm going to make it happen. You need to know how dangerous this is. I have told your husband, all the specialists, all the neurologists in each one of these countries, the best where you're going to be at. I've given him the names if anything happens. And he's walking out the door, and he stops, and he comes back with tears going down his face, and he goes, I have to tell you this. My parents live in Estonia. I was born and raised in Estonia, and I thank God that you want to go there and pray for my country. Is there a God? Amen? I admit, I whine and cry here and there. Now, I want to share some things so that I stay on task for what's coming tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, I'm just going to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, God has asked me to talk to you about sonship. Like you've never heard it before. Amen? And then on Saturday night, about agreement. He wants you to know about agreement. That's going to change your life, change the way you pray, the way that you assimilate what's being said to you, what you receive and what you're not going to receive anymore. Amen? It's going to be awesome. Get prepared. There's going to be some awesome nuggets. Awesome nuggets. The Lord told me to tell you that I'm not here to convince you, but to convict you. Amen? He wants us to be convicted, not convinced. Where you're walking in your faith, are you convicted in walking it? Because the Holy Spirit was sent to convict us, not convince us. Amen? We need that conviction inside that we operate. That was my conviction. I shall live and not die. And he was right there with that resurrection power at 3:30 that afternoon. And I popped up. And I was ready to get out of that hospital. Amen? Praise God. There's got to be something greater that you keep your eyes on when you're in those trials. Whether it's divorce, finances, any kind of relationship, where your spirit is, where your relationship with God is, there's you've got to have your sights on something greater, and you've got to discipline yourself, convict yourself to get those eyes lifted up. Amen? So in this picture up here, this is one of the pictures of where I want to go, is what I had to do. To get out of that hole that I was in, that Satan was just throwing the stuff in. See, I had to get my antenna on the Lord. Amen? I had to get that antenna on him. And this is what he reminded me of. This is Jesus in the garden. This is his last place of decision. I don't know if you realize that, but this was his last place of decision. And he is praying. And all of a sudden he looks over and there's his three best friends. And they're sleeping. And he goes over and he kind of kicks them and he says, wake up. Can you not tarry 1 hour? Pray lest you be tempted. And what would you be tempted in? today, what would we be tempted in if we just fell asleep in this room right now? What would the temptation be? To shut down? Or when a circumstance comes in your life, you don't have what it takes to overcome? See, we pray to build up that most inner faith so that we are not tempted with the doubt, the hopelessness, the discouragement. Amen? That defeatist attitude. He said, pray that you not be tempted. And they're all just kind of, And he's walking back away, and all of a sudden he turns, and they're nodding off again. See, the Christian church today is nodding off. We're not keeping our eyes up. We're not to the author and finisher of our faith. This is serious. I mean, he's already told them what's going to happen, right? And so he gets in this discussion with the Father. Our Father, when Jesus talks to me and we're talking about God, he says, our Father. In other words, Jesus and I are brother and sister. Interesting? He always says, our Father, but our Father, but our Father, when I ask a question. And so he's walking along and he's going, Father, look at him. Is this really necessary? Is this going to make a difference? They can't even stay awake for an hour. They're best friends, about ready. You know what's going to happen. Oh, I know. I know we had an agreement. I know. I love them. I know I'm going to do this. I know. What are you willing to do? When you look at your kids and you're discouraged, when you look at your spouse and you're discouraged, do you really know what your purpose is? Do you really understand what God has called you to? I get more people come up to me and they go, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. And I'll go, read your Bible. Do you read your Bible? Well, not much. Well, I want to tell you something. The Word of God, you want to learn to hear His voice? It's right in here. You get familiar with His language, and when you hear Him talking, you recognize it. We all think that He talks English. I don't know what language God talks in, but when I read His Word, I understand what He's saying. Amen? I've taught little children and their parents to get them illustrated Bibles and read those Bibles to them, and the next thing you know, they're reporting to me, my child says God's talking to him. Do you think He is? Absolutely. God's Word will not come back void. Amen? His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there's something that we have to wrap ourselves around in that scripture to believe, is that He is a lamp unto our feet, a light into our path. And we need a light because we really don't know where we're going, but we're following after Him. Amen? Women, you know, we follow a lot more easier than men do because we follow the man. We do. But God is leading somebody. And if the man's not leading, then the wife has to lead. And that's unfortunate because God has set an order for the family. But God is saying, I am the Word, and if a couple is in the Word together, oh my gosh, the devil cannot contend with that. He can't. Amen? So anyway, in that, I'm not here to convince. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, where you know where that is, 119, 105. He's a light into my path. And I cannot move until I see that light. I need to see that light of direction. Amen? So I told you that in order for us to bring this conference around to the level it is and what we're doing, and it had to be, God had to move. And God moved in me. I mean, there were things that were going on. Then I go down to Ketchikan to do a conference, Faithfulness, as I'm healing. And while I'm down there, I'm asked to go do a meeting, a surprise meeting, and that meeting was really awesome. And it started out with Numbers 4, if I can just share this real quick. We're going to walk through how he put this, the theme of this conference together. Go to Numbers 4, and Numbers 4, no, it's not Numbers 4, it's Numbers 6, excuse me. Numbers, where are you? I found it. Ask and you shall receive. And number six, now just bear with me when I go through this. I'll try not to talk too much more, but I have to share this. And number six, verse 22. Now, this is the name of our book. He said, he said, he said. And when I was in Hawaii, while we were, you know, we had 13 chapters that God gave us, the titles and the content of what goes into those titles. And then about the sixth chapter, it's like, Lord, we don't have a name for this book. We kind of had something that we thought about, but I said, that's not really the name of the book, is it? And he goes, no. I said, what is the name of the book? And he says, well, what do you tell people when I tell you to do something? I said, well, I tell them what you told me. He says, how do you say it? I said, he said. Do you know how many times it says he said in the Bible? He said. Anyway, he said the title of the book is He Said, He Said, He Said. He even said what color the book, the cover was, and what he wanted me to emboss on it. I mean, it's incredible. He has a plan. I just have to walk that walk where the light is shined and stay in that light. Amen? So anyway, this is how he starts it out. And this is the beginning, because this year is about new beginnings. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen? It's all about peace. He said this year, you tell them, if they've got ears to hear, you tell them to pray for peace. Pray for peace in your home, your community, your state, your nation, around the world, as God leads you, pray for peace. And the second thing he said to ask you to pray for is pray that they will accept him. He usually says believe. He said accept. Pray, tell them to pray that they will accept me. Amen? Okay, so then after that, I have to tell you though, he said ask them, when was the last time you blessed somebody? When's the last time you laid hands on a child, you blessed your husband, blessed your wife, blessed your pastor, blessed your leaders? When was the last time you came out with a blessing from God for them for safety and peace, provision? That's what God is asking us to do. You want to know why our country is not walking in peace? Because we have forgot how to bless ourselves. And when we don't bless, we're cursing. If you've got a blessing in you, you're holding it back, you're cursing them because they're not going to get that blessing. Amen? You send their family out that door and you bless them when they go out that door, I guarantee you when they come back, they're going to brag about how they were blessed. Amen? Then he said, go to Numbers 21. So go to Numbers 21 with me. And this is where he talks about the dry well. Now, let me explain this. I had to really bear in and pay attention what he had to say about what I'm going to read here. But I will tell you, since I've been to Georgia, I'm going to tell you, when I would walk around, when I would go into meetings or whatever, I just saw this humdrum sadness on people. It's like we've been through shell shock. Our country is hearing things that we have never heard before. There's bombings, there's blastings, there's train, airplane, shipwrecks, there's movie stars, athletes, political leaders. I mean, it may be somebody down the street. You're just hearing that. We're shell-shocked. It's like 2015. We step into 2015, and we're desensitized. It's like, what's next? What's next? Where before, whoa, we need to pray. Now it's just another shooting. You follow what I'm saying? That's what I was experiencing when I first got here. And God says, I want to be the lifter of your heads, Psalms 27:5. I want to be the lifter of your heads. I want you to lift your heads above your enemy. And he gave me a vision, and it was like, boom, I was in this field. I'm standing in this field, and I'm barefooted. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, ouch, my feet hurt. I'm barefooted, and I'm kind of walking, and he says, come to me. All I can see is a light on the other end of that field. And I start walking, but it hurts on my feet. It just hurts. I'm like walking on thorns or something. And I finally looked down. I thought, what is this? And the minute I saw it, it was wheat and tares. And I thought, I got to pull some of these out of the way so I can stand, at least stand. And the Lord says, just keep coming. Keep your eyes on me. Let me be the lifter of your head. Keep your eyes on me. Don't pull on those tares. And all of a sudden, boom, I was at the end of the field. And I'm standing there thinking, what was all that about? And he said, this is the end time harvest. I will take care of this, but you will see it. Amen? Amen? He's about not being, letting us be premature, starting to tear everything up. Amen? It may be a little bit of discomfort on our feet to walk through this. It will be, I'm going to say. But I'll tell you what, the Lord says, keep your eyes on me, the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes on me and you'll get through this. And this issue back here, I got it under control. He's got it under control. It's hard for me to fathom how he has it under control, but he does. Amen? His thinking is way higher than mine. Amen? So listen to this. This is something he wants us to do. Again, the Lord says to Moses, I'm in verse 16. The Lord says to Moses, and by the way, number 16 is God's love. That number means God's love. If you look in the Hebrew alphabet, there's a number right next to the alphabet. And he talks to us in numbers as well. Anyway, the Lord says to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. What was the deal here? This was a well that had been filled with dirt and rocks and stuff. It was dry. It had no water. But he says, gather them. I'm going to give them water. And they sang a song, spring up, O well, spring up about it, about the well that the princes dug, the nobles of people sank, the nobles with scepters and staffs. Guess what? They start singing to that well. And guess what? Living water began to bubble up out of that dry well that had been filled with rocks and whatever. And God is saying there's been people throwing rocks into your well. People are throwing things. Sometimes we're throwing them at ourselves. And he says, sing up. Sing to the well, your dryness, and it will spring up living water. Amen? In other words, you got a gift of tongues. Pray until you feel the water moving. Amen? Sing. If you got a voice, sing. If you got a sound to come out of you, you're a singer. Sing. Sing, oh well. You know, there's a lady in this room that I've heard her reputation is that she sings. I mean, she wakes up in the morning and sings. And if she thinks that house is empty, she sings and she sings and she sings and she sings. Man, I'll tell you what, her well must be overflowing. Amen? It should be. Amen? But that's what he's saying. Sing to your well. Amen? Am I making sense? I don't want to convince you. I want to convict you. If you're not singing to your well and you're dry, you're the only one to blame. Amen? I mean, there are going to be people throw stuff at you. People are going to give you bad reports. And the Lord says, sing to that well, and it will spring up with the living water. Amen? Praise God. Then he says, go back to number 6. Remember, he's tracking me. I'm not tracking him. He is tracking me. He's sending me and sending me and sending me. He knew I needed the help. Amen? Okay, back to number 6. And number 6 talks about the Nazirite vow. And I want you to know something. I was like, I don't have to go there. I'll just tell you what it says. Number 6, right at the beginning of the chapter, I thought he was sending me back to the blessing. But no, he's sending me right to the very heart of intercession. The beginning of true intercession. He said, tell the Israelites, any man or woman comes to me and they have a prayer request or something on their heart. You know, for a season of time, it was a request, basically. Don't shave your head. Don't do this. Don't do that. And set yourself apart. Let me sanctify you. this is modern day, those 3, 10, 12, 40 day fasts. That's what that was. To set yourself apart, to intercede in behalf of something, because it says for a certain amount of time, a request. Amen? I'm going, wow. So he's showing me now, these are the things that, if you will do this, bless, if you will do this, pray and sing to your own well, build up your most inner faith in the book of Jude. Now he's saying, intercede, and this is what we're to do, is to pray and fast, set ourselves apart, sanctify ourselves, okay? Now he's about to give me the fourth one. And this is the fourth one that zooms us right into where we're going. Amen? And then that is also in Numbers, back to Numbers again. And, I mean, it was like, Lord, you know I don't like snakes. So it starts in verse 1, when the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in Negev, heard that Israel was coming along the road to Etherium, he attacked the Israelites and captured some of them. The Israelites made a vow to the Lord, if you will deliver those people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them. And they came completely, they did completely destroy them and their towns. So the place was called Hormah. And then, verse 4, here comes the door. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on their way, and they spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no food. There is no water. We detest this miserable food. I don't think that's a good thing to do, guys. I'm in chapter 21. I'm on verse 6 now. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and the Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We've gossiped about you, God, and we've gossiped about Moses. We're sorry, we badmouthed him. We've sinned against the Lord, and we've sinned against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Now they prayed and made a vow with God, and he let them be victorious over their enemies, right? Well, they're trying it again. This has got to work. It worked that time. Let's see if it'll work this time. So Moses went and prayed for the people, talked to God. And this was God's response. He didn't fix it the way they wanted it fixed. He wanted to activate something out of them. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake. Put it on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on the pole, and then when anyone was bitten by the snake, he looked at the bronze snake and he lived. See, what he's saying is, I'm not going to remove the snake. That's what you want. You want me to remove the snake? I'm not going to do it. But what I am going to do is give you a provision of what you can look at that you'll be healed. It's a type and shadow, isn't it? Because that's what God has did with us through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. By the way, the more you read the word, the more you love the word, the more excited you're going to get. I'll tell you, if you have a problem spending time in the word, ask God to change that. Because I'll tell you what, I can't wait to read it. I can't wait to look at it. I can't wait to see what he's going to reveal. And when I was a child and I drank the milk, I know right what you're talking about. It was like, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to get into this as a specifics I understand, because there was so much I didn't understand. But I'm telling you today, he's given me understanding. And he's given me understanding because I'm approaching his word with righteousness. That's going to be the difference. I want to know, Lord. A sincere heart. I am convicted to know your word. Amen? And I may fail in some things, and if I say something wrong, you're welcome to correct me. I welcome it. Amen? But here in chapter 4 of Hebrews, it's, oh my gosh, the Sabbath rests. What is this year's theme? Raise a war cry. Redemptive rest. And God said, here you go, Nancy. Listen to this. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands today, let us be careful that none of you be found or have fallen short of it. Short of what? Let me tell you what he's concerned about. It's right there in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4. But when you read from 1 to 4, what you're going to see is how God, and God brought this word. This is the word for the hour. All of us Christians, it's for us in this room. He's saying, I know your deeds. I know what you've done. I know your long-suffering and your perseverance. I know that you have not grown weary. But this one thing I have against you, and you've fallen far from it. And what is it? It's his love. And you know what his love is? Mercy, grace, and compassion. And we have set ourselves up. Oh, shame on us. I'm going to just say it. What we have done is positioned ourselves, judge and jury, with a gavel. Bang, 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 bang. And it's like, I'm going to love you because I know you and I know what you're made of, and I'm going to have grace and love because it's easy. But this lady over here, I don't know her, and if you tell me she's been fooling around her husband, shame on her, let's cast her out. Give me a rock. That's what we're doing. We're picky and choosy of who we're going to favor, who we're going to love. I mean, we've grown so mature in our relationship with God. We said, God, you don't have to take care of this. I'll take care of it. Move over. Give me the gavel. That's what we've done. And God is addressing the church today. You have fallen so far because when you came into the kingdom, you came through grace, mercy, and compassion. That's all of his love. And where is your grace, mercy, and compassion? Whoa. I mean, we can sit here and say, oh, I love my family. I'm good to my kids, and I'm this and that. How do you treat your neighbor? How are you praying for your president of the United States right now? Zing. That was dirty, huh? But you know what we're required to do. Amen? Praise God. So that was awesome. So here's the Lord taking me down this road where here's the problem. Listen to this here. Let me read along further, because we know what we've fallen short of, our grace and our mercy. Guess what? That's what happened to the Israelites. What makes us so different from them? Amen? For we also have had the gospel preached to us as they did. And he's talking about the children of Israel. They've heard about the gospel. We've heard about the gospel. Let's look at what the difference is. For we have had the gospel preached just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because those who heard did not combine it with faith. I know a lot of Christians go to church, they're in the good old bless me club, but when I start talking faith, they think, oh, you're one of the spiritual ones. Huh? No, I'm one of those faithful ones. And I believe, and I'm not going to give up. And you may think I'm, like what we did with Rose last night. Some might have been offended by that. But I'll tell you what, if we do that first, God takes care of the rest. Amen. My choice was to pray for her. And most of the people in that room know her and love her, and she wanted that prayer. She wants to live. She doesn't want to die. She doesn't. Amen. And there were more than five righteous people in that room. God said, if you find five righteous people, I will heal her. Amen. The hard part about it is, what kind of healing is he doing? Amen? And I'll just leave it at that. You can work within your own heart in that. But because of those who heard did not come by faith, now we who have believed will enter his rest. That's where that faith is. That's where that conviction is. That our heads are lifted up and looking at him. Amen? I want to share this last one thing before you go. If I could find it. Hallelujah. I am very much into numbers, and I just want to explain what God told me about this year. And he's still sharing more. I mean, I feel like the pieces by the end of the year and all the conferences that we do. You know, I'm going to do two more conferences just in this area and in Westminster, Ohio, before I go back to Alaska. And not like this. I'll be the featured speaker, and they'll do all the work, and a lot of my friends won't be there that are here right now. But if you just keep us in prayer, we have a pretty good schedule if you look at it. And you're welcome to show up. You can come and help. Amen? But let me share about the numbers, and just so that we can all get on the page. Amen? 2015, the number 20 is redemption. Always through the Bible, it'll point toward redemption. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 15 is the number for God's rest. God's rest. I shared where the war cry came from. God changed his mind. God says we have to war for it. We have to war for it. We're going to war for it through worship. Worship. Amen? Worship. Amen? Remember what God's doing to finish his work here. Amen? We worship. We pray. We hear. And we're obedient to walk it out. Amen? So, 2015, if you add across, 2015 equals 8. Remember what I said earlier? 8 is new beginnings. You take your glasses. 8, new beginnings. That means you're going to see more clearly. Amen? It's not about yesterday. In fact, the point is you can't do anything about yesterday anyway. It's over. You can't change it. You can't go back to it. It's gone. Boom. Amen? Okay. New beginnings. Quit looking at yesterday. Whatever you did yesterday, don't worry about it. You can't do it again. Good or bad. Amen? If you take 20 and 15 and add it up this way, it equals 35, which is hope. And the number 30, and Psalms 35, it's right there where David is talking about God, and he says, God will contend against those that contend against us. Meaning, whatever your issues are, whoever you have the problem with, let God take care of it. He'll do a better job. Amen? Amen? He will do a better job and probably a safer job. Okay, so then 5775 is the Jewish calendar. This is how he gave it to me. There's a lot of other stuff out there. This is how he gave it to me. 5775 is the Jewish calendar, which started at dusk on the 24th of September. I love the number 24, by the way. Anyway, so that number across is... Well, first of all, let's look at the numbers. 5 is the number for grace, God's grace. Amen? And I'll tell you what, if you get a good delivery of a message on grace, you never get tired of it. You never will get tired of his grace. If it wasn't for his grace, I wouldn't be here today. Amen? My dad named me Nancy, and my name means grace. Amen? Anyway, 7 is completeness, spiritual perfection. This is for this year. These things you should be writing down. You can watch for the new beginnings because they're happening right now. And by the way, we are not walking in what we've been walking through the last 3 years. It has changed that much. Amen? Amen. Amen. So also, if you put 5 and 5 together, it equals 10. That's testimony, and that's called the law of responsibility. It is a principle that when you have a testimony, don't hide it. You have a testimony because God intended it for somebody. Amen? When you get to heaven, I'll just give you a little hint. When you get to heaven and you're met at the gates, you're going to see people that you've never seen before in your life. But they're going to say, I know you because of what you said to my granddaughter, or what you said to my uncle, or what you said to the gas station attendant that took the time to say what you said. You can't imagine what you're going to meet. I'll tell you, I was a preschool teacher. I was getting ready to take care of, you know, be the director of the school. I was going to college in child development classes, doing everything I could do to get myself positioned to take that job. I wanted that job because I love children. I want the best for children. And God, 2 weeks before I graduated, said, "No, you're not going to do that. You're going to give that back to me." Amen. But in the midst of that, I was a teacher to this student, and his name was Spike, and I had him when he was 4 and 5. But all the rest of the time, everywhere I go, when I'd be in town or I wouldn't see him for maybe a year, I would be in a restaurant and he'd just be standing over against the wall watching me, waiting for an opportunity to say hello to me. And somebody would say, "Do you know that young man over there? He's been standing there watching you for about 5 minutes." And I'd look up and it was Spike. And Spike is growing up into like a little He-Man football player, you know, and he's, and anyway, when he was about 16, 17, he called my house and he said, "Miss Nancy, will you come to my church tomorrow?" It was Saturday night. "Will you come to my church tomorrow? I was wondering if you would come to my church." And I said, "Well, Spike, what's going on?" I mean, we're in leadership in other churches at that time, so I'm going, "What's going on?" He said, there's something I want to show you. It's really important that you be there." And I said, "Okay, Spike, I'll be there. I'll get Henry to come too." So Henry and I come in. They were waiting at the door. They escorted us down here, right here in the front. He gets up here at this stage. He grabs that mic, and he sings, "Thank you for giving to the Lord." And I'll tell you what, the tears went down my face. I mean, he was honoring me because it was my touch in his life that his mom and his dad became Christians. Amen. And they're serving today in places to help people that they were knotted up in with drugs and abuse and whatever. That's the fields that they went back to school and took classes in drug rehabilitation. The mom, she works with the youth services and goes and is a counselor at a place where they stay all night with them, like a whatever they call that place. But anyway, he's a little pastor right now. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Praise God. So you don't know who you are affecting. Amen. So anyway. So your testimony, be responsible for it, is the law of responsibility. Whoever heard it put that way? Have you ever heard it put that way? Law of responsibility is our testimony. And that's number 10. But 7 and 7 is deliverance, which is 14, is deliverance and salvation. That's what was happening last year, deliverance and salvation. I mean, we're just like being plucked like chickens. I mean, that's what's been going on. No wonder we're weak and bent over and whatever. Amen? But then you take all of this and you add it up. 5775, it equals to 24. Do you know what 24 is? Get excited because this is your word this year, priesthood. 24 is priesthood. And as God is calling you to rise up into your godly call in the priesthood, amen, in Christ Jesus. Can't be a priest if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to tell you flat out. That's where it starts. Amen? And he does that. Great work. Amen? And then, so there, if you add up 24 and 8, it equals 32. And I'm just going to ram this home. That number is covenant. 32, covenant. And let me tell you about covenant, if I have my notes right here. The word covenant always, and this all makes sense now. The word covenant always is about regeneration. You make a covenant, it's about regeneration. You make a covenant this way, what it is you are coming in agreement. You're coming in contract. Amen? 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 So guess what? That's regeneration. What do you think that the Pentecost was about? It was regeneration. I mean, it was like the power of God came down, and the regeneration was the Holy Spirit filling them. And that wasn't the only time that there was a Pentecost. There was other places in the Bible where there was a Pentecost, and the fire came down, and they spoke in tongues. They spoke and evangelized, and they were not themselves. Amen? So covenant is also believing. Believing. God says, do you believe? Do you believe? Bottom line, do you believe? Bottom line, are you convicted to believe or are you convinced to believe? Amen? Another word for covenant is receiving. Because I'll tell you, you make covenant with God, you're going to receive a lot. You have an inheritance you haven't even tapped into. Amen? Receiving. Also, another definition of covenant is reviving. Did I say sing to the well? Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Make me whole. He wants to revive us. Amen? But again, I said, it's about making a contract. It's about coming in agreement with something. How many times have you said, God, if you do this, I'll do this? And did we ever fill our size? The other thing is you got to know it's a two-way street. If I'm making a covenant with my friend Debbie here, I mean, it's not going to be a covenant unless she agrees with me. It's a two-way street. It's the same with God. You're making a covenant with God, it's a two-way street. Amen? Okay. It has to be activated. It has to be activated. I mean, I'm frustrated with this aspect here because people will accept Christ into their life. And then, of course, the next step is to get baptized. Amen? And they can't be convicted to that. They don't want to be convicted to that. You know, and we try to convince them and it won't work. They have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So it drives me nuts. Then they get it and they'll go, I speak in tongues, but I don't really practice it. Holy smokes. I said, do you know what that's like? That just opens a huge horizon for you when you're walking in that gift because it builds up the inner man. That's one of the reasons we get it. There are several reasons, but that reason we need to build ourselves up so we have the courage to say, okay, Lord, it's your mouth. I know that you're going to feel it, amen, because of the Holy Spirit that's in you that will come out of you, amen. But they'll go, but I just speak it a little bit. I don't really practice it. Well, that probably means you're not really reading your Bible too, isn't it? Well, that's true. Do you pray? Well, on Sunday. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh. So it's like if I'm going to give you a Cadillac, and that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's a huge Cadillac, golden keys. And I'll tell you what, you got the keys. You just got to turn it on. You got to get in it and be willing to let God take you where you're going to go. And then that is the truth. And whoever said that about when you become a Christian, you know, it's not all bubbles. It's not going to be all bubbles. I mean, there are times a lot of us wanted to quit. But I'll tell you, in the books I'm reading about the Navy SEALs, quitting is not an option. Being a Christian is not an option. And all that time, I was looking at all those scriptures and reading and saying, God, I have a question. I have a question, Lord. This came out of me. Everything else he put in me, this came out of me. I said, I want to know, you know, the Navy SEALs have a creed. And you know, I think it was, oh gosh, it must have been after the October conference this last year. I was met with an awesome, 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 awesome gift. You know I love history, and I love the books on wars. I do. I want to see the strategy. I want to try to feel the strategy of God's part in it. Did God have a side? You know, I love to get strategy. Anyway, when I got home, I was given a book, and it's the first one to come out with a lot of truths. But it's about this big. It's heavy. Oh, my gosh. I think the freight on it probably was, to ship it was expensive. But it has the Navy SEAL emblem on the front of it. It kind of stands up about that high. And there's stuff in that they've never revealed ever. I mean, they've allowed them to write this book. It's huge. Oh, my gosh. You know where it is right now. It's beside my bed. Henry goes, I know where that thing's going. You know, because all my favorite books just pile up on the side of the bed. And when I leave, he doesn't touch them. He doesn't. He goes, I know if I touch one, you're going to know it. These are my babies. But anyway, when you understand the commitment of the Navy SEALs is just phenomenal when you read about their conviction, the training they go through, and you know, the soldiers all across the board, all branches, you know, they go going, we're going to fight for our country. We're going to fight for our country. They come back. I was fighting for the brother on one side and the sister on the other side. That's how they come back. That's what I'm for. Amen? But I said, Lord, here's this creed that just lists out what the Navy SEAL is all about. What is the creed in the New Testament? What is the creed in the New Testament? He says, I'll do more than that. I'm going to tell you where the workshops are going to come out of. Because the Christian creed, you want to know how to behave? Romans chapter 12, the whole chapter. Amen? And you heard them up here announce their workshops. And when we learn how to behave, you know, they're going to bring these nuggets out that they have learned. What a blessing. Don't you wish, well, afterwards you're going to say, I wished everyone could hear all of these. They're going to be online, but this is God's plan. You want to know where we're going? Somebody said to me the other day, you know what? You sound like a Baptist. I said, a what? Because I was talking out of Romans chapter 12. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I just know where God directed me. Amen? Yes. Amen? So that's kind of where I'm going to leave us tonight. Tomorrow night, I will be talking about the sons of God. But I'm also going to share a testimony of an awesome 5 ways to pray. To pray for your family members, to pray for yourself. 5 specific ways, and the way God gave it to me was, he said, when you tell them, those that have ears to hear, he said, they will have authority to wield those scriptures and wield that prayer as if I'm speaking it. Amen? So that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. You already heard it, but, you know, the 5. Yes, it's very good. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Listen, I know that you're tired. I'm glad you're all here. I want to close in prayer. You know, if you want to stay for some prayer, we're going to have the team up here willing to pray for you. I'll pray for you, however it goes. But we got some workshops that we're going to be setting up tomorrow, and I want you to come on, and I hope you picked out where you want to go, what you want to see, who you want to hear, or whatever. Anyway, let me close in prayer, and thank you for your patience. Amen? Father, I just thank you for tonight. I saw you stirring hearts, Lord. I saw a conviction just landing on different hearts in the room. Father, you've been changing hearts in this room. It started in the testimony at the beginning. New beginnings. We're getting new glasses. It went through all the worship, Father God. Went through the testimonies, Father God, that I shared up here tonight because I didn't hide anything under a bushel. I'm not ashamed. I'm just grateful, Lord God, for resurrection power. And I pray, God, tonight that our ears can hear, Father God, that you have called us into alignment in faith. Let us walk in a conviction of faith. Let us walk in the faith to believe that there's resurrection power. There's a Pentecost to happen in each one of us here tonight. I ask as your Holy Spirit hovers over each one. Ooh, he's doing something different. Stay in your mode. Keep your heads down. Don't be looking. Holy Spirit, you said Pentecost on each one individually. Fire, 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 fire.